This week we're going to begin with a look at when religion and law collide in a couple of cases. When it's announced that the state of New Jersey is awarding grants to institutions or projects, some just shrug at it with little interest while others study it to see how taxpayer money is being spent. Our first guest with us this morning is here to talk about state grants, which his organization and others say are a violation of the New Jersey state constitution and yet were put into the pipeline by Governor Christie. He's a legal director for the New Jersey chapter of the ACLU, Ed Barocas. Good morning, Ed.
Hi, how you doing?
And it's ACLU-NJ.org. You'll learn more about this and the other cases that the ACLU New Jersey chapter are paying attention to. And give us a little background on this. This involves two religious institutions, and you're getting a pretty good chunk of change on grants. What's the foundation objection to these two institutions and the money that they're, or at least had been planned to receive, that's in limbo right now?
That's right. And it is quite a huge chunk of taxpayer money that's going to these two sectarian religious schools. So the state has various grants that they give out to places of higher education. And a number of them they give to private colleges. But two of the colleges that they selected, it was a competitive process. Some projects got rejected. But two places that received all the money they requested were the Beth Medrash Gavoa Yeshiva in Lakewood that received $10.6 million of tax money, and the Princeton Theological Seminary, a Presbyterian seminary, that received $600,000. And that violates numerous clauses of our state constitution as well as our law against discrimination, because both of these schools provide sectarian religious instruction. They train ministerial students to become ministers in their respective faiths, and each of the institutions engage in discrimination. Now, they're allowed to engage in discrimination because they are private religious entities, but the state can't give our taxpayer money to essentially underwrite discrimination.
Now, there's a variety of arguments against that. The state, for example, is saying that the free exercise clause in the state constitution is limited to prohibiting the establishment of one religious sect in preference of another, and they're saying that, you know, as long as they qualified, there were no filters as far as who got the grants, religious organizations, non-religious organizations. And others are saying, is this a grant for a religion or a grant for a curriculum, paralleling it with, well, if you're giving a school that specializes in teaching physics, you're giving the grant for the teaching of information, not for the practice of a religion in this case.
Right. So there are a few problems with that argument being made. One is this was a competitive process, as I said. So it's not as if this was purely neutral and anyone who applies gets money. There were value judgments being made. There was discretion. And the discretion chosen gave the most money to this yeshiva, one-fifth of all the money. For private universities went to this yeshiva. In addition, New Jersey has a special clause that's not in the federal constitution or other constitutions that specifically prohibits taxpayers' money to go for the maintenance of any church, place of worship, or any ministry. And that's really the issue here. And it doesn't matter if money is even given out, even if it was purely neutral criteria, even if they gave to other groups, religious groups cannot receive this money. So the fact is here that these are not just schools that teach a variety of courses, and some of them happen to be religious. These are not schools that simply teach about the history of comparative religion. These are schools that teach religion from a particular sectarian point of view. This is Sunday school and Hebrew school, just on the adult level. And not only that, they actually train their ministers or ministerial faculty train ministerial students to become ministers. That is maintaining their ministry, and that is exactly what's prohibited by Article 1, Paragraph 3 of our New Jersey Constitution.
Talking with Ed Barocas, who is the legal director for the New Jersey chapter of the ACLU. On the web, it's aclu-nj.org. And you are listening to Issues and Ideas. A little background. This was from April of 2013, and all the Christie administration awarded $1.3 billion in state grants to 46 colleges and universities in New Jersey, two of which are included in our discussion here, nine which were private, religiously affiliated institutions, which brings about another question. And they include, for example, Seton Hall, College of St. Elizabeth of Morristown, Princeton Theological Seminary in Princeton. Are these two separate, Princeton is part of the actual focus of your attention in the brief, but why these two, and were there no concerns with Seton Hall or the College of St. Elizabeth?
Well, so there is a distinction between the two, types. On one hand, if a college is merely religiously affiliated with a religion, but it doesn't teach from that religious point of view, then if it's not engaging in indoctrination, sectarian religious instruction, if it's not training only ministry of one sect, if it's not discriminating based on who comes in or who has certain rights at the school based on religion or race or gender, we're not making the argument that they should be denied state funds. But where a religious school actually promotes a particular religion, where it actually trains ministers, where it actually gives special benefits based on religion or race or gender, then the state cannot be supporting that with our tax dollars. And that's why we didn't make the argument against the Seton Halls. Now, it turns out in the future Seton Hall engages in discrimination sectarian religious instruction, then it would be different. But to our knowledge, that's the distinction. These two schools, their very purpose is sectarian religious instruction.
I don't recall whether your organization is taking part in this objection or not. I just recalled this out of the file cabinet, and I call the brain in my head. There's a church in Morristown, I believe, that applied for restoration grants through a state historical fund. And someone, a resident in Morristown, I believe, objected to that under the same idea that we're talking about here with Princeton and Beth Midrash. Is that something your organization has tied into? Do you see that's a parallel because it's simply a restoration of a building for a specific religion church? Would that fall under the same auspices that we're talking about here?
It depends. I haven't looked at it as thoroughly. It is something to look at. Obviously, state or the town or whatever it might be has an interest in preserving historic buildings. The question is, who's responsibility is it at what time? If you have an active church ongoing and you are basically making it better for that particular group, that's different than a church that's now a purely historical church that doesn't have active ongoing services that is restored for historical value. So it's something I would look into more, but yes, it is something where it needs to be analyzed under this special New Jersey provision regarding tax money going to benefit or maintain churches and ministries.
Is there any element that you're aware of that either one of these two education centers, Princeton or Beth Midrash, do they receive any sort of aid or assistance from any state program for any particular reason?
Well, it should not. If it did, that's troubling and should be challenged, like we've challenged here. That said, the yeshiva actually receives a special tax exemption from the federal government, a special reporting exemption, specifically because they are a religious organization. At the same time, the seminary completely admits that its purpose is to prepare students to serve Jesus Christ in ministries, right? The seminary admits that only Christians can get degrees there. The yeshiva, it doesn't acknowledge formal discrimination on the basis of religion or race, has no minorities. It specifically acknowledges that it discriminates against women, that women cannot go there. So not only are we violating these prohibitions in our Constitution regarding giving money to perpetuating religious groups, but we're also violating the New Jersey law against discrimination, because the state is giving money, millions of dollars, to groups where certain genders or religions, people of certain genders or religions, can't benefit from the services that are being provided there, specifically locked out of those services. And so the state can't indirectly discriminate, in essence, by underwriting the discrimination of organizations that do.
Learn more about this issue, read the brief. In fact, you can do that at aclu-nj.org. He is the legal director for the New Jersey chapter of the ACLU, Ed Barocas. Ed, thanks so much for bringing the insight into this, helping us get a better understanding of it, and for being here this morning.
Thank you very much, Chris.